Hello, everyone, and welcome into Scrambled Eggs here on Crack Sidewalks, your unofficial Marquette basketball podcast. I'm Joe McCann, and Phil, welcome to Badger Hate Week.
Yep, or as it's known in my household, the coldest week in the house.
I'm sorry to hear that. Of course, Phil is married to a lovely woman who just happens to be a Wisconsin Badger. We only hold it against her once a year.
She only made two bad decisions, one marrying me and one going to Marquette, or going to Madison.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Yeah, she's 2 for 10.
Actually, Phil, we're actually going to start with a little bit of breaking news. Did you hear that the Wisconsin basketball trophy case was robbed?
No, I did not.
Yeah, police are actively searching and hoping for the safe return of shelves and red carpeting.
Oh, fantastic. Good thing they didn't have anything else in there that was worth stealing.
Exactly. All right, over the course of the show, we are going to talk about the upcoming game against the Red Menace in Madison. We're going to look at that game and talk about Marquette's chances, how bad they may or may not need that game. But first, we're going to talk about the thing freshest in our mind, look back at the Wooden Legacy Tournament, which ended on a sour note for Marquette with the loss to San Diego State. And it was a real bummer, Phil, because I thought Marquette showed a lot of improvement, especially offensively, over the course of the week, starting with the quote-unquote good loss to Arizona State. At least that's what we thought at the time, because the team played so much better in the loss to Arizona State. Then they looked really good against two blah teams, let's be honest, when you talk about the opening game against Fullerton and then the win over George Washington. But, you know, say what you will, they control both of those games and looked really good, and thought maybe they might be ready for a breakthrough and a tournament win over San Diego State. And, you know, as much as I hate to blame losses on officiating, but there were some critical calls late in that game that unquestionably gave the Aztecs some momentum. Still disappointed Marquette wasn't able to get a win. There were some rebounds they could have gotten, and they didn't shoot the ball particularly well in that game anyway. Phil, overall, what did you take out of the Wooden Legacy?
Overall, I will take, A, it matters who you play. Because Marquette, when they play a inferior foe, certainly looks better than if they play an equal or superior foe. I also think that this team is I'm just going to classify them as either a roller coaster team or a zigzag team. When they're going up, you're thinking they're going down, and when they're going down, you're thinking they're going up. So it's very hard to kind of, I'm just going to stay right in the middle and let them come to me either direction. It's just going to be less stressful that way.
I agree. You know, I think it's too early to either bury this team and say they're not going anywhere, and it's too early to say they fixed everything and are going to be great, because the truth, as you say, is somewhere in the middle there. You know, as much as I hate to say it, the fact is Marquette does not have a great win on the season at this point.
Which is part of our issue.
Right. You know, I mean, some of the teams they've gotten win against, I mean, and they're not very good teams, and against some of the better teams, they have fallen short. Maybe the most encouraging thing we saw in the San Diego State game, however, was Deonte Burton's play. He had 15 points, including some big buckets, when Marquette really needed him there as they were trying to make a comeback.
Yeah, he went 6 for 8, muscled up, showed some improvement on defense, but really just was kind of instant offense. And I think the most revealing thing was the mid-range jumper, which is kind of a lost art in the NBA or in the NCAA in general, and is really kind of, you know, with the new rules, is going to be kind of important. So it was kind of a revelation. Apparently, I can't talk today. I'm so filled with Badger hate. So it was a good thing. But, you know, he's a freshman. Nobody really knew about him from the other team. It's going to be interesting to see how somebody like, say, the Badgers counters him coming off that kind of game.
Yeah, it's something we talk about every week is as the roster's taking shape and different positions, we'd like to see somebody take ownership of them. We talk about that a lot with the 2 and the 3, and maybe more so the 3 these days. You know, whether it's going to be Juan Anderson or Jamil Wilson switching in and out there between the 3 and the 4. But I think, you know, if Deonte Burton can consistently give you a lot of good minutes, you know, 15 to 20 good minutes, whether he's playing whatever position he plays, 3, 4, even if he goes down to goes and plays the 2 or whatever, you know, that's going to add a lot. Because I think, as has been documented, Buzz wants to make sure he can trust these freshmen on both ends of the floor, and maybe Deonte still needs to show him something there. But what he showed offensively in San Diego State certainly is promising, and you know, I think it's something that we've kind of been anticipating, because, you know, obviously the guys who do a great job over at Paint Touches have really been anticipating Burton emerging and becoming a big-time force in the Big East, and they kind of wrote about that this week. And that it was a pretty good article that I think they've been kind of waiting to unleash until he had his first really big game, and he did. So they call him Bane. We'll see how that nickname catches on. It is catching on, I think, a little bit, a lot more than I thought it would.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's kind of like worn me down, kind of like the automatic thing with Gardner.
Gardner, you
know?
Yeah.
I wasn't big on automatic, and then, you know, it just all of a sudden it stuck in my head and say, oh, automatic from my chair.
Well, let's be honest. Typing Bane on Twitter is a heck of a lot easier than trying to remember how to spell Deontay.
It is. I think, like, the players called him Debo. I think that's his nickname on the team, though.
Oh,
I don't
okay.
think any of them call him Bane, but I think they just call him Debo. But Bane will catch on.
Yeah,
make
I think
on.
So.
Well,
the thing
is, sure it catches on.
You know, and like with the roller coaster, Deontay had a breakout game against San Diego State. People shouldn't be upset if all of a sudden he disappears a little bit. Freshmen
right,
are going to
yeah,
be up and
yeah,
down.
I mean, yeah, that would kind of go with a lot of things we've seen this season. He could play 5 minutes and have 2 points against Wisconsin. I'm not sure what to expect, but it was a good step in the right direction. Just like we saw some positive steps earlier in the week from Juwan Johnson.
Right. Yeah, he hit some shots and showed some good offense and decent defense. So he should be able to earn some more minutes and more time as well. So you're right, that is another positive.
Right. And Mayo, after sitting out the Arizona State game, he looked healthy in the Wooden Legacy. I mean, he didn't play that well in the San Diego State game, but he looked quick. He was cutting to the basket. And it's kind of a similar situation with him and Jake Thomas, almost as it is with Gardner and Otule, where the more potent offensive threat is the one coming off the bench.
Yeah.
And the guy who gives you a little bit more is the guy, and the guy who may actually be playing in critical stretches is the one coming off the bench. And that's just the system that works for Buzz. If it works, go with it then, I guess. You know, he may have two guys finish 1-2 in voting for sixth man of the year in the Big East, just because I think Mayo and Gardner are just going to be guys who are just going to give them so much off the bench.
Well, but I also think that, and we've talked about it before, there's no way, at least in my opinion, there's no way the lineup we're putting out on the floor to start the game right now is the same lineup we see in March. And maybe that's a poor way to look at it, because we did see there was a time when Eric Williams was a starter all the way into March, but that really didn't mean anything because he was out at the first time out and never really saw the floor again. So maybe instead of looking at the starters, we look at the minutes played. But I think the lion's share of the minutes that are being distributed now are going to be distributed maybe not completely differently, but in a vastly different way come March.
Oh, I think that's for sure, especially if and when Dwayne Wilson comes back and if he can contribute at all. Because I think he'll be a guy who will play both guard spots. We're not going to see him against Madison, I don't think. I think that'd be a real shock. I think he's still a few weeks away. But Jeff Goodman actually reported during the game, for what it's worth, during the San Diego State game, that he's 3 weeks away, which would mean first week of January. So that's half the season. We'll see if he's ready. If he can contribute anything, hopefully he can. Another thing that was positive to me is Derek Wilson continues quietly solid play. We saw him go to the basket a lot more during the Wooden tournament. You know, he just picked his spots. He didn't do it a lot because, you know, it's not really his forte, but he did pick his spots and he did get to the basket and just get some easy layups and take what I thought were some really good shots, and for the most part made a lot of really good decisions in the Wooden tournament.
Right. Well, and it just proved that, you know, we talked about in the Arizona State game that he was driving, scoring buckets, and some of that was attributed to Carson, potentially by me, Carson being in foul trouble, and it just kind of proved that, no, it's kind of what Derek's game is, what he's going to do, what he's capable of. And I also think that, you know, he in the first half of San Diego State, he was getting buckets. In the second half, he kind of disappeared. But I think some of that may have been to that hip injury or whatever it is. When he slipped on that, it's always condensation. Mm-hmm. But when he slipped on the condensation, that kind of seemed to take a little out of him. So, I think he's gonna quietly continue to improve. And like we've said, he's not the weak link on this team right now by any stretch of the imagination.
No, not even close, yeah.
It's still got to be the two-guard position.
Right. Yeah, and Yeah, I think you have to say it is. But maybe not so much the two-guard position specifically, maybe just outside shooting in general.
Yeah.
You know, three points, they were 1 of 11 from three-point land in the San Diego State game.
Zero for seven in the second half.
Yeah. They shot much better against George Washington and Fullerton, but that's George Washington and Fullerton.
Right.
Against better teams, you know, against San Diego State and against Ohio State, shooting from downtown was not nearly as good. And that is the concern. And that's when, you know, when some of those shots start falling, that's when, you know, Gardner's going to get his points. And that's all another thing worth noting in that San Diego State game that was frustrating is Gardner was, he was sick. He was really struggling out
very,
there.
Very, very sick.
And, you know, Buzz kept putting him out there because he's the guy and he needed him out there. And Gardner was fighting as best he could, but he was far from 100% in that game. And hopefully he is drinking lots of fluids and resting and Theraflu or whatever he needs, and he'll be 100%.
And then he's also in quarantine, so the rest of the team's not catching whatever he's got.
Right, yeah. Please keep, I think it may be just a stomach flu. Maybe it was the character breakfast at Disneyland.
You know, never trust anything Goofy gives you, ever.
Yeah, just don't do it. Don't do it. Be very careful. But, you know, despite two losses last week, Phil, I overall was encouraged by the team because, yeah, the San Diego State loss was frustrating in that there were some calls that went against Marquette that, yeah, it cost them a game a little bit. But two solid efforts against George Washington and Fullerton and an encouraging effort against Arizona State. So my thoughts heading into the Madison game are much different than they were a week ago when I was deathly afraid that they were going to get killed because they just wouldn't have any kind of offense to bring to the table. Now I at least have some hope, some faith that Marquette can bring a capable offense into this game.
Yeah, well, and I think this is a level of expectations. I mean, you know, first of all, to start the season, our expectations were insane, perhaps. Now they've been readjusted, but then even coming off the Arizona State game, our expectations kind of got high again. And then if I had told you at the get-go that Devontae Gardner was going to be, you know, almost nothing, almost negligible as a performance, do you even think we're close to San Diego State going into that game? I mean, right. He's probably our best player, and we hung with him close enough that officials actually legitimately cost us the game. Mm-hmm. I think the offense is there. I think it's starting to come together. The defense is there for sure, though that may be secretly some of the downfall of the second half of the San Diego State game, because we did give up 50% shooting both threes and twos in the second half of the San Diego State game. So the defense kind of slacked up a little bit too. But I am cautiously optimistic going into the Badger game.
I agree. Before we talk about that, Phil, we do have some fake sponsors that I would like to get into the show.
Oh, that would be
appreciate
great.
As our show gets more popular, we do have some non-sponsors. This segment of Scrambled Eggs is not brought to you by the University of Wisconsin Office of Admissions. We want you here, whether it's campus, online, or photoshopped in. Wisconsin, keep on photoshopping. Now, as we look towards the Wisconsin game, Phil, one thing I think I am confident of is that Marquette will bring a solid defensive effort. You know, even in games when they're overmatched, in games like, say, the Ohio State game, they have at least brought a solid defensive effort. And that's one thing I am cautiously optimistic that will certainly be there on Saturday, is that they're not going to just get embarrassed by Wisconsin's offense.
Yeah, I agree. Wisconsin's been somewhat of an offensive juggernaut this season. Some of that's the competition, I think, but they've been pretty solid. I think the defense absolutely, actually, in fact, we may see kind of a role reversal of years past where Marquette was the offensive juggernaut and Wisconsin was kind of the defensive grinding team, and I think we'll come in as the kind of the grinding team and try and grind out a victory, get just enough points, you know, try and get more points than they get, and call it a day. So I think the defensive effort will be there. It's going to really depend on how we close out on the threes and if they're shooting well or not. If they have an average to below average shooting day, I think our defense will definitely prevail. If they're just red hot, there may not be much the defense can do.
That is a concern. And, you know, to your point about low scoring, that's basically what it has been the last two games. Marquette has won the last two matchups. 60-50 last year and 61-54 2 years ago in Madison. So low 60s, 50s is what we have gotten the last two times, and I think that's kind of what I'm expecting this time around. I don't think the winner would get much past 60 in this game.
No, I don't think so either. I think it's definitely going to be a grinder, and I think there's going to be a lot of frustration from the Marquette fans because, again, they're used to kind of wide open ball, you know, pushing up and down the court, and that's just not going to be the reality. Buzz is going to be looking for multiple paint touches. He's going to be, you know, really slowing them down on defense. I think we see some full court press, three quarter court traps, just to try and slow them down. That's kind of a misnomer. Slow down Wisconsin's offense, but basically, from a defense,
turn them over. Really, is yeah, what you're looking for.
Turn them over and just kind of make them stay out of their half court set as long as possible. I think is what we're going to see from the defense end. So it's just going to be a grinding game. I don't think it's going to be pretty, and you know, we just have to hope the better team prevails.
Yeah, and I think a big factor in the game from Marquette's side will be how Derek Wilson runs the offense, because every shot is going to be so critical, because Wisconsin will run it slower offense. Much as we like to rip on it for being slow and boring, they are meticulous and they wait to get the best shot. And Marquette's going to have to do a lot of that on their end. They can't rush shots. They can't just go into the trees and throw up something and hope it goes in. And the way Derek Wilson is going to run the offense, I think, is going to be key, because if he is patient and if he makes sure he gets the ball to the right guy in the right spot to get wide open shots, that is going to benefit Marquette greatly, you know, whether it's getting it into Gardner, whether the ball's moving around enough so Gardner can go one-on-one and back his man down and get points. If it's getting to guys for wide open shots, if Jake Thomas is wide open, I'm all for him taking some threes in this game, because I think they could be critical.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, Gardner's going to be the key, and this is going to be why getting him healthy is going to be so critical. He's going to be the key because I bet you we work everything through him, because if you can get a couple of the Badger, post players in foul trouble, and nobody on the Badger team is going to be able to defend Devontae one-on-one. So they're going to have to double in the post or hedge down on the wings to help defend Devontae. So he's going to have to feed it out of there. So he's either going to get his buckets and get fouls, or he's going to feed it out of there, and it's going to be up to the shooters and the slashers, if you will, to score buckets off of the feeds from Devontae. That's the offense is going to have to flow through Devontae. He's the big mismatch.
Yeah. You know, Wisconsin's going to have Kaminsky down there, who's a 7-footer, but he's obviously doesn't have the girth of Gardner. So Devontae should be able to push him around a little bit, but he's just got to get around those long arms and make sure he doesn't, you know, get the shot thrown back in his face. But I do agree that I think Gardner should be able to at least get his, you know, get the, you know, 15 or so points that you would expect from Devontae in a big game. And if he can, I think that's a really good start. The curious thing for me, as it is every week, is who plays how many minutes at the 2 and 3 and how they play, because, you know, that really dictates how much they play, to be honest.
Right.
You know, if Jake Thomas hits a lot of outside shots, he's going to play a lot. If Juwan Johnson comes in and he is confident and he can drive to the basket and he gets layups, he's going to get more minutes. The other night, it was Deontay Burton at the 3, essentially, 3 or 4, or whatever you want to say he was playing there. He was getting a lot of shots, so he got a lot of minutes. So it's just curious to me, and that's kind of going to be the X factor, is who's going to take control of the game in that switchable spot on Marquette's roster, 2, 3, 4. Who's going to step up in that area and have a big game? Because there are so many guys you are hopeful can do it. Realistically, you can't expect that Todd Mayo and Jamil Wilson and Deontay Burton and Jake Thomas and Juan Anderson are all going to be hot on the same night. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
You just have to hope enough of them are that they're going to get you a win. And Todd Mayo had a big shot in Madison a couple years ago that helped them win that game. It would be nice to see him have a happy return to Madison.
What, which do you think is a bigger issue or a more critical item more critical thing for us to have positivity come out of? That's a very weird way of articulating that question.
Yeah, but I did follow you, though.
The two guards or Jamil Wilson? Which is more critical for us to be successful? Jamil Wilson actually playing up to his talent level, or some combination of the players playing the two guard playing to their full potential.
I would take Jamil Wilson because at his best, he is a nightmare matchup.
Oh, absolutely.
And he is so tough to guard when he is at his best. It'll be a great counter for Sam Dekker. Got to give that guy his props. He's a heck of a player, and he is frustrating to go against. He's the guy who might be playing in the NBA in a couple years, but Jamil Wilson has the look of a guy who could play in the NBA. When he's at his best, there really just aren't that many people in the country, really, who can guard him.
Well, and that was the one of the most frustrating things about the San Diego State game was there were a couple of times where Jamil Wilson either got to the rack or freed himself and made a great pass and just looked like, do that. Yes, do that all the time. But then he would disappear again. I remember there was one particular one where he split some defenders, finger rolled for a nice layup with almost no effort, it appeared, whatsoever. And it's like, why can't we do that all the time? I think if Jamil Wilson can do that regularly, because let's be honest, Jake Thomas at this point, to steal from Denny Green, he is who we thought he is. He's a decent defender with a streaky shot from range who has no ability to slash to the hoop. Right. I mean, we're not going to expect much out of him. So Jamil Wilson has to be the guy, I think, out of the whole group that steps up his game more than anything.
Yeah, the Jamil Wilson we saw in the first half against Fullerton, when he had, I think, 20 points in the first half, he had 24 for the game. It's not to say, like, he played poorly in the second half. Marquette had just called off the dogs at that point. But he was absolutely on fire in that first half. If that Jamil Wilson shows up in Madison on Saturday, I think Marquette's going to have a really good day because I don't think there's really anybody on Wisconsin that could stop him if he's playing in that mode. Now, if I want to get greedy, yeah, I'd like to have two or three guys playing at their highest level outside of Wilson. I would love to see Todd Mayo have a great game because when he's at his best, you just can't take him off the floor. I mean, because he can hit outside shots, he can defend, he can slash to the basket, and he can even distribute a little bit. So, of course I want both. I want everyone to play well, but realistically, that's just not going to happen. Some guys are going to be off, and that's going to be up to Buzz as to, you know, to recognize who's not playing well, what's not working, and just have the best five guys on the floor at the end of the game, and hopefully it wins it for you.
Right. So, you know, yet another question for you. Seeing what we saw, we talked about the positivity of some of the freshmen stepping up. Who do you think has a bigger game in Madison, Juwan Johnson or Deontay Burton?
I would say Burton because I think what he is doing is a little more sustainable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I agree.
I think Juwan Johnson's going to be a really good player at Marquette. He just has, you know, he's a little streaky. Sometimes the shot isn't there, sometimes it is. And I think against Wisconsin's defense, especially if they're going to zone on and collapse on him when he gets into the post, I think he may find it very hard to get all the way to the basket like he wants to. On the other side, Burton, he's got the size and he's got guard quickness, and I think he can create for himself very well. He's got a good enough outside shot. He's got that nice mid-range jumper, and he can back a man down. And if he gets matched up on a smaller guy, and he can get to the post. So I think what Burton is starting to do is going to be a little more sustainable, and I think it's more likely to reappear against a tough defensive team like the Badgers than Juwan Johnson, because Juwan seemingly has kind of a short leash.
Right.
I can't disagree with that short leash either.
Right.
Because if he's not ready out there and if he's struggling, there's no reason to leave him out there and let him keep struggling. Go with the safer option, albeit not the spectacular one in Jake. And maybe he can hit you some outside shots and keep you in the game. Because when Jake can knock down two or three three-pointers, it really just opens up so much for some of the other guys on the floor.
Right, that's true. Well, and I think to sum it up in one word, I do agree with your assessment, Burton versus Trey J. I think Burton is doing things that are more unique than Trey J. You know, he's more unique to the game that Marquette's employing that makes it more difficult to kind of guard him. But the other thing to watch with those two is if they're going to contribute at all, because we talked about it, hate them or despise them, whatever level you're at with the Badgers, they're fundamentally sound on offense. So if you aren't fundamentally sound on defense, they're going to exploit it all day. And that may be what keeps somebody like Burton or Trajay off the floor, is if they're just getting burned on defense because they're not recognizing it and Wisconsin's exploiting them. You know, it may hurt us that we can't put their offense on the floor.
That's exactly right. I mean, every possession on both ends of the floor is going to be so critical because they're going to be so fewer possessions than Marquette is traditionally used to in the type of games they would like to play. Wisconsin's going to be patient and get the best shot that possibly can. You just hope that a guy like Kaminsky doesn't go off for 40 or whatever he did, you know, the other week, because that hurt. Marquette, I don't think, will be able to come back if Kaminsky's able to get 43 points. So, you know, every possession is going to be so critical. And, yeah, I agree. If a guy is letting the team down defensively, a buzz will take them out of the game very quickly, and they may not see the floor again. So
right.
We'll see how that shakes out. Phil, this segment of Scrambled Eggs is not brought to you by Wisconsin Basketball. It's the state's number one over-the-counter sleep aid. It's tasteless, goes down easy, especially in March, and it's non-habit-forming because you won't want to watch it again. Wisconsin Basketball, keep on being boring. Phil, we talked about Marquette's schedule and how they don't have a quality win. How critical is this as far as Marquette's tournament resume? That may sound like we're like looking way down the line, but I don't think we are when you consider the maybe relative disappointment as far as the level of the new Big East so far. And this is really Marquette's last chance to get a really, really huge win.
Well, I think it's, and this is kind of hard to say, but I think it becomes almost a must. It's as close to a must win as you can make it in December. The reason being, and I wouldn't be in this position if Creighton and Arizona State hadn't both lost to what I would term inferior teams in the same Wooden Classic as we were involved in. Those losses, Arizona State got somewhat embarrassed by Miami, who got embarrassed by George, or who went to the wire with George Washington, who we, you know, so by the transitive property, we should have beaten Arizona State by about 47 points. And then Creighton lost to George Washington, who we also beat. Both of those losses make those future games against Creighton as well as the loss against Arizona State seem significantly less good, if you will.
Less good.
I've been around a Badger fan or two, so I'm starting to talk like them. Mm. It becomes as close to a must-win. If we don't win this game against Wisconsin for other reasons, then I just don't want to live in a house with my wife who has a Badger victory under her belt. If we don't win the Wisconsin game, it's an absolute must-win that we have to win the New Mexico game.
Right.
We have to have a quality non-conference win.
Because when it comes down to tournament time, the question they always say is, who did you play and who did you beat? Well, Marquette has played a nice schedule for the most part. I mean, they've tried to schedule some nice non-conference games. But if you don't have any non-conference wins, you know, that's a strike against you. So if you're sitting there in March with, say, 17, 18 wins, and most of them are against a blah conference, you know, you're risking being on the bad side of the bubble. We have to bring back Team Bubble Watch, to quote our guy Andy Glockner out there. But I wouldn't say like a loss necessarily puts Marquette on the bad side of the bubble, but it just still puts them in that situation they've been in a few times before when we did the whole team bubble watch thing. When are they going to get a nice quality win? And my concern, not to trash on the new Big East too much, but no one is really jumping out at me right now. It's like, man, we got at least one really great team. I'm not sure we do.
Well, right. And the problem is once you get to conference play, the way the RPIs work out and stuff, you start beating up on each other, obviously. And so the tone is kind of set for the conference in the non-conference season, as weird as that sounds. And right now, I think if you look at the latest standings, I think the new Big East is ranked third behind the ACC and the Big Ten. Okay, that's great. Third is good. But then when we start beating up on each other, it's almost going to force that ranking down a little bit, whereas the Big Ten and the ACC is going to kind of go up a little bit as the big teams amass wins. And I just think it's a dangerous place to put yourself to have to rely entirely on the conference season for your success.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little surprised that the new Big East is actually third. I thought they would have been a little lower, maybe behind the Big 12 and Pac 12. And I hate to say it, but the old AAC for at least this year is pretty darn good.
Yeah,
Louisville and Connecticut is playing really well, and Memphis should be a pretty decent team. But no tears for me. I'm still happy to be in the new Big East. I just think it's been a bit of a blah debut so far. Hopefully things will pick up and maybe somebody will get some nice non-conference wins. Sure would be nice if Georgetown goes out and beats Michigan State.
That would be a huge get for us.
But that's way down the road. We'll worry about that when we get there. But as far as Wisconsin is concerned, yeah, it's a big game for Marquette, not just because it's a rivalry, because they need a nice non-conference win. And, you know, Buzz has actually done pretty well against Bo Ryan, all things considered. He's 3-2 against Ryan after Ryan really, I mean, Wisconsin really kind of owned the rivalry for about the 10 years before that. Wisconsin had won 7 of 9 before Marquette won in 2007. That was Crean's last year. And then Buzz won in his first year at Marquette. Then Wisconsin won 2, and now Marquette has won the last 2. Winning 3 in a row against Wisconsin would be so huge. Maybe asking a lot to win 3 in a row, including 2 in Madison, but it would be so, so sweet.
Well, we really need to win this one, because I don't know if you've checked Wikipedia lately, but basketball was invented in 1994. So that's really where all the records start, because that's when the Badgers actually had a team of any consequence. So we really need to start racking up the wins so we can have a historical precedent within this basketball era.
Oh, really? Yeah, 94?
Yeah, 1994. John Naismith came back from the dead to invent basketball at that point.
So Christian Leitner's thing in 92, that didn't happen?
No, that was a fever dream. Or invented by the folks on Lost. One of the two.
Well, you know, because, you know, in Lost, they actually went back to 1977, and something pretty cool happened in 1977.
That is true, but that didn't happen either, because... No.
I think it did.
I think it I did, think too. And I went for my Twitter avatar. I went to even older, or with the Al McGuire, some might say taunting the Wisconsin fans after a victory.
Al was the best.
Oh, God. I miss that guy.
Yeah, I do too. But, you know, if Marquette does get this win, it's going to be big. And I don't know about you, Phil, but I think I might get out of my seat and jump around.
Yeah, I'll jump around a little bit.
Jump around?
Yeah, might as well jump around.
Do we need a license to jump around?
Well, to hear anyone that's a Badger fan react to any other stadium jumping around, you would think House of Pain came from Madison and wrote their songs in Madison.
Yeah, those guys are actually from New York, but yeah, I mean, yeah, they really get upset about it. But I mean, jumping around is as sacred as all other Wisconsin football traditions, like students cursing each other and the team getting killed in bowl games.
Yeah, well, hey, listen, if you're going to do anything, do it well.
That's their thing. Phil, you know, we've kind of hinted at our predictions. We're not going to predict any other way. This is the Marquette Basketball Podcast, after all. After some positive steps forward last week, and, yeah, a disappointing loss against San Diego State. Considering it's a must-win situation and a rivalry game, I think Buzz is going to have this team prepared. And at the risk of sounding like a total homer, and I'm totally fine with being that, I think Marquette's going to go to Madison and win this week.
I agree with that. I would love to be contrary, because that apparently makes for good radio/podcasting. Mm-hmm. Just ask Skip Bayless. But I do think, I think this is a zig when, you know, this feels like a... everybody's thinking zag and the team's going to zig. So I think people are a little down on the whole thing. And I think they're going to come in prepared. The defense is going to be solid. And the offense will actually appear competent. So I think it's going to be a very close win. And I also think Madison jumps out on us early. But we'll see. Anything but a blowout. If we get a blowout, I'm just going to be despondent.
Unless we're on the other side of the blowout, then that would be
well,
the
that's
greatest
true.
Thing.
That's true. I would love that.
But I don't see that happening in Marquette's favor. You know, I would be shocked if Marquette blew out Wisconsin. I could absolutely see a win. Keys to the game for me: number one, efficient on defense. You know, make Wisconsin waste shots. Number two, the way Derek Wilson runs the offense, Marquette has to be excellent with shot selection. I think that will start with the way Wilson distributes the ball. And finally, somebody on the wing has to have a big game, whether it's Mayo, whether it's Burton, whether it's Jameel Wilson, or whether it's Jake Thomas. One of those guys has to have a game where they've got 15-plus and are just making a bunch of shots. And I think if those things happen, Marquette will be walking out of Madison with a big W.
Yep, I agree. Nothing to disagree with there.
All right, well, appreciate everybody listening to Scrambled Eggs here on Cracked Sidewalks. As always, you can send us your comments, your feedback, anything you would like. We're on Twitter. You can hit us up. I am Joe McCann 3. Phil is M-O-O-O-F 23, or you can send it to Crack Sidewalks' Twitter account as well. We also have a Facebook page for Scrambled Eggs. You can like us on there. That's where we post the podcast. And, of course, we are, as always, on iTunes for your downloading pleasure. Phil, any final thoughts as we wrap up this Badger Hate Week podcast?
No, I mean, just be careful. The Badgers are a wily bunch, so take your Badger Hate Week and really make it effective. And actually, I'd love to know if there are any Badger Hate Week traditions that people have out there so I can start to incorporate them and drive my wife completely insane.
My one Badger Hate Week tradition, and I did want to get this out there anyway, to thank them. Anonymous Eagle was willing to share the Badger Hate Week hashtag with us, which we appreciate. My one Badger Hate Week tradition is going to Anonymous Eagle and reading their hilarious content, because they have some good stuff.
Oh, yeah. It is the highlight of the Badger Hate Week.
I think my favorite thing they ever did was the behind the music on Jump Around.
Oh, yeah.
That was one of the funniest things they did. And I also read their Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer-themed jingle about Bucky the Red Menace. Also a solid read. So thank you to Anonymous Eagle for sharing Badger Hate Week. It is for one and all, and it is the season of sharing. Again, thanks for listening to Scrambled Eggs, everyone. For Phil Bush, I am Joe McCann. Hope this week is seashells and balloons and contains a big Marquette win. Have a good one.